night we come to a vital truth in the Scriptures, and that is that Jesus Christ is either your Savior or your Judge. That is the essence of what these two passages of Scripture make crystal clear. And so this doctrine of the exclusivity of Jesus Christ is what is clearly taught. You either have Christ and He's your Savior, or you don't have Christ and you are judged. So the title of tonight's message is Broken Upon the Chief Cornerstone. Let's look first of all at Matthew 21, beginning with verse 42. Jesus saith unto them, Did ye never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Now turn over in your Bible to Daniel chapter 2, beginning with verse 31. Daniel chapter 2, beginning with verse 31. We come to this prophecy of Daniel speaking to the king, Nebuchadnezzar. And here he comes to the interpretation of the image that the king had seen in a vision. And Daniel says this, Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of gold, speaking of Babylon. His breast and his arms, this two-thronged kingdom was the Medes and the Persians, this great Persian empire. His belly and his thighs of brass, of course, speaking of Alexander the Great in the Grecian Macedonian Empire. His legs of iron, his feet of part of iron and part of clay. And of course, this is the Roman Empire and its fierce iron grip that it had over Europe, and then as it began to divide, it was still strong, but it began to splinter like clay splinters. Verse 34, Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands. And who is this referring to? The Messiah, Jesus Christ, cut out at that time during the Roman Empire, cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and break them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain. And who is this again referring to? Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art the head of gold, very clearly speaking of the kingdom of Babylon. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. And what was that kingdom? The Medes and the Persians. And another third kingdom of brass. This is the Grecians, Alexander the Great, which shall bear rule over all the earth. Remember, the Greek language spread through all the earth, didn't it? And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And the kingdom was divided into east and west of the Roman empires. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with the clay. Verse 44, and in the days of these kings of the Roman Empire, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. And so in the days of the Roman Empire, the Messiah will establish his kingdom. Remember what Peter said in Acts chapter 2, preaching on the day of Pentecost, that at the resurrection, Jesus Christ was seated on the throne of David, and he began to reign over all the world. And we think again with that in mind of the verse in Matthew 21 and verse 44, that whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And so the truth of this scripture, the truth of this prophecy, and the truth of what Christ was saying in the book of Matthew is that Jesus Christ is either your Savior or your judge. If you trust in the kingdoms of this world, if you trust in this earth, Jesus Christ will be your judge. And if you trust in the King of Kings, He will be your Savior. And we're going to find that very clear and very important as we think about evangelism. Because God is a great King. Jesus Christ is the great King. And we need to remember that, that there must be this coming to a reckoning with Jesus Christ, with His way, with His Lordship, and to be humbled under Him. That's salvation, to be broken on the chief cornerstone. Because if you're not broken on that cornerstone, what does He say? What's coming? You'll be ground into powder. And so the great thrust of evangelism, as we go out into our workplace, into all the world, is to preach the law of God, to show the mirror of the law to sinners so that they might be broken, so that they might be broken over their sin, that they are liars and they are thieves and they are adulterers, that they've not kept the Sabbath holy because they've had idols in their life and God has not been first. And that, we pray, will break them so that they might be broken on the chief cornerstone, that they might find Christ as a Savior. Well, let's look at this text in Daniel. And first we see the kingdom of men. We see their anatomy, the anatomy of the kingdoms of men. And of course, the first head was Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. And where is that today? The country of Iraq. That is what Babylon is. And then he says there's these two arms, the Medo-Persian Empire. Cyrus, his father, was a Persian, his mother was a Mede. And so you have the Medo-Persian Empire, the two arms. And the belly, the torso, and the two thighs, this is Greece, the Macedonian Empire. Alexander the Great, this one where he went into all the known world at that time, united them, and not only united them, but had them learn the Greek language. And of course, that's very important for us to understand, because what happened when Jesus came into the world? All the world spoke, much of the known world spoke the language of Greek. And our New Testament is written in Greek. And the gospel spread in the common language, the Koine Greek, into all the world so that when Paul said, I preached here and I preached there, he was preaching in the Greek language. That's what Alexander the Great had done. He was wanting to conquer the world for himself. God allowed him to conquer the world for Jesus Christ's purposes. And then, of course, you have those two legs, those two iron legs, the iron legs of Rome. And you had the no real leader there. You had emperor after emperor after emperor, and then you had rulers, and eventually it just came to be ruled by the Senate. And it broke apart into pieces, and it crumbled. And we have the writing of Jerome early in around 200-300 AD. And Jerome, the one who wrote out the Bible into Latin, the Latin Vulgate, he spoke about Rome crumbling at that time. And he spoke of this prophecy, saying, hey, this is happening right now. And it did happen, didn't it? So notice that all of these kingdoms in this vision appear as an idolatrous image. It is an idol, a god. And that is what the kingdoms of this world are filled with. They are filled with themselves. They worship themselves. And all of these nations will be destroyed. They will be dashed to pieces. And that brings us to our second point. Not only do we see the anatomy of these nations, we see the destiny of these nations. What did these four empires, and all human empires, really have in common? They wanted to conquer the world. They wanted to have one kingdom over the entire world. And what does our text say in Daniel 2:44? What does our text say that God does to the rule of men? He says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. That is, God shall bring a people out of all of these nations, and their loyalty will no longer be to this nation, and to that nation, and to that nation. Their loyalty will be to King Jesus. And so today, if you go to Spain, yes, there's a king there, Juan Carlos. But oh, praise God. When we went there, we saw souls that were brought into not the kingdom of Spain, but the kingdom of the Messiah, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And this is the stone that came out during the time of these kings. That's what Daniel is saying. So we see the destiny of all of these kingdoms. They'll crumble. They'll crumble. They'll be broken up into pieces. Think of what Isaiah says in the 30th chapter of that prophecy in verse 14. He shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a shred to take fire from the hearth. He's saying, I'm going to crush, this is speaking of Israel, but I'm going to crush Israel and all nations so that they're pulverized so much that you can't even see a shard from them. And what does Christ tell the believers at the church of Thyatira in Revelation chapter 2? Revelation chapter 2. He refers to this text in Daniel and gives a prophecy. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 26. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over all the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. You see, Jesus Christ will be given to us, the morning star, and we will break the nations into shivers, into nothing, we'll pulverize the nations. When he comes again, we'll meet him in the air, And we'll come back down and we will judge the earth with him. We will judge all nations. So go ahead and preach the gospel. And so what? Maybe one day they'll put you in jail. Doesn't matter. Because the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. So we see the destiny of all earthly kingdoms. And the destiny of these kingdoms is that they shall be pulverized. Let me say this again, the words of Jesus in Matthew 21 and verse 44, "Whosoever shall fall on this stone made not with hands, cut out not with hands, shall whoever falls on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." So we see the kingdoms of this world will be ground to powder. And secondly, we've seen the kingdoms of men. Secondly, now let us look at the kingdom of Christ. Verse 44 of Daniel chapter 2. Verse 44 of Daniel chapter 2. "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom." So when was the kingdom of Jesus Christ set up over all the world? In a way that ruled over all the world. It was not simply focused on Israel. When was Christ's kingdom set up to rule over all the world? During the days of the Roman Empire. That is exactly what this verse says. And he says, "And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all of these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron." By the way, cut out of the mountain without hands. Who initiated the conception of Jesus Christ? Wasn't planned by any earthly father, was it? This is speaking of the virgin birth of Christ. He's cut out without hands. He's brought into this world without human volition. God the Father, through the Holy Spirit, gave the seed of the Messiah to the Virgin Mary. And he was born in the time of the Roman Empire. And so we see this kingdom of Jesus Christ. He's a stone. And he is a foundation stone. Therefore, in Isaiah 28 and verse 16, we read, "Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." So in our text, Christ's kingdom, Christ himself is envisioned as the stone, that foundation stone, not made with hands. First of all, to some, Jesus Christ is the stone of stumbling. The stone of stumbling. We read this many times in the Scriptures. We read in Matthew 21 and verse 42, "The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner." He's called by Peter, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense in 1 Peter 2 and verse 8. And so here Christ is a rock of offense, a stone of stumbling. Why? Because he didn't come in the fashion as an earthly king, did he? He came as a servant. And that bothered the Jews. They stumbled over that. And even today we have those who stumble over Jesus Christ. We have those who call themselves ministers of Christ. Because they think that he's too harsh or that he's too mild. They don't fit, or he doesn't fit into their idea of who Jesus Christ should be. I think of a conversation that I heard between Billy Graham. This was on a television show. Between Billy Graham and Robert Schuller. Robert Schuller said this. Tell me, he says this to Graham, what do you think of the future of Christianity? Graham says, well, Christianity, and being a true believer, you know, I think there's the body of Christ. This comes from all the Christian groups around the world and outside of the Christian groups. I think everybody that loves Christ and knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, he says, they're members of the body of Christ. He says he's calling people out of the world for his name, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world. They are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus. This is Billy Graham. But they know in their hearts that they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light they have. And he says, I think that they are saved and that they're going to be with us in heaven. Do you see that this man who preaches to all the world, Christ is a stumbling block to this man. He trips over Christ. Schuller goes on to say, what I hear you saying is that it's possible for Jesus Christ to come into human hearts and soul and life, even if they've been born in darkness and have never had exposure to the Bible. Is that a correct interpretation of what you're saying? Graham says, yes, it is, because I believe that. That is what he said. Not long ago, there was an interview on Larry King Live with Joel Osteen, who is the pastor of the church, the Lakewood Church, that occupies the 16,000-seat compact center. They just underwent a $90 million renovation. Larry King says, what if you're Jewish or Muslim? You don't accept Christ at all. Joel Osteen says, you know, I'm very careful about saying who would and wouldn't go to heaven. I don't know. Larry King says, if you believe you have to believe in Christ, they're wrong, aren't they? Joel Osteen says, well, I don't know if I believe they're wrong. Do you see that Jesus Christ is not simply a stumbling block for the Jews? He's a stumbling block for even those who proclaim to know Christ. And dear friends, let me remind you what the apostolic teaching is on this. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you don't have Christ, He will fall upon you and pulverize you. You can be building your own kingdom on this earth. But oh, if you're not building the kingdom of Jesus Christ, you will be pulverized. Let me repeat Matthew 21:44. Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. Billy Graham, Joel Osteen, and all the false teachers of this world need to fall on Jesus Christ and stop building their kingdom and be broken on the chief cornerstone. So you have those who find Christ to be a stumbling block. You have those, in the second place, who are built on Jesus Christ. Matthew 16 says that upon the rock of Christ, the church is built. He is the chief cornerstone. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Christ is calling out a people for His name. And He is building them upon Himself. He is the foundation. He is the chief cornerstone. And then thirdly, there are those who are pulverized by Christ. Christ is coming to judge the world. And He will fall upon all people who do not proclaim His name now. 2 Peter 3:10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Paul says to the Thessalonians that He's coming with vengeance, in flaming fire, giving those who do not know Jesus Christ what they deserve. Do you understand the impact that this ought to have on our evangelism? Do you understand how we ought to go into all the world with boldness, proclaiming the kingdom that is the lordship of Jesus Christ? That you had better conform and be broken on Him? We must preach repentance toward God and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, we see that the earth is filled with the glory of Christ. Verse 44 of our text in Daniel chapter 2, that in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So we see that the glory of Jesus Christ in His kingdom will go into all the world. Psalm 2 says that we should kiss the Son, lest He be angry. What does that mean? It means that we should bow before the Son of God as we would before a king. You see this sometimes as those who call themselves Christians bow before the Pontiff of Rome and they kiss, idolatrously, they kiss His signet ring. I don't want to kiss any man's signet ring. I don't want to bow before any nation, before any ruler. I don't want to bow before any man. I want to bow before the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's coming back. He's coming to rule and to reign. And He rules and reigns now. Are you part of His kingdom tonight? Because if you're not broken on the chief cornerstone, you will be ground to powder. And He may come tonight. And all those who know Him will gloriously shout, Amen! Come quickly, Lord Jesus! But those of you tonight who may not know Jesus Christ, don't you fear Jesus Christ now? You ought to, because if He's not your Savior, He's your judge.